So what happens when, a global tech giant, I mean, one whose products really underpin almost everything, what happens when they face accusations of gross cybersecurity negligence?
It's a huge question, and it's exactly what we're digging into today.
Yeah, it's this escalating controversy, putting Microsoft right under the microscope, raises some really serious questions about digital security, corporate responsibility.
And even national security, potentially.
Exactly. So our mission for this deep dive, we want to really unpack these allegations. We've got sources like excerpts from Microsoft Under Fire, FTC investigation demanded over security failures.
Right, that piece details a U.S. senator's formal request for, well, a federal investigation into Microsoft's security practices.
So we're going to look at the technical side, the vulnerabilities they're talking about, how Microsoft responded.
And then zoom out a bit. Look at the bigger picture implications. National security, what companies owe us in terms of safety.
Right. So get ready. You'll get a much clearer picture of why something that sounds super technical, like an old encryption standard, can actually have these huge damaging consequences.
And what it means for basically any organization relying on these systems.
Okay, let's jump in.
So this whole thing really highlights how a formal letter from a prominent senator can suddenly drag these critical, often kind of hidden technical issues right out into the open.
Shows you the real world impact.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The catalyst here, like our sources show, is Senator Ron Wyden writing formally to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission.
And he didn't mince words, did he? The accusation was direct. Gross cybersecurity negligence for failing to secure their products properly.
That is incredibly strong language,
Yeah.
especially for a company like Microsoft, given how ubiquitous they are. You just don't hear that every day.
No kidding.
And the senator's point wasn't just about, abstract tech flaws. Wyden really hammered home that this alleged negligence directly led to actual ransomware attacks.
Yeah, hitting critical infrastructure. He mentioned U.S. healthcare organizations specifically.
Exactly. And when security flaws in software that everybody uses lead to breaches affecting millions of patients, well, it forces you to think about corporate accountability, right? What level should we demand?
It really brings it home, moves it beyond just code and into like real harm for real people. And to illustrate that, the sources point to a pretty stark example, don't they?
They do. The Ascension Health ransomware breach back in May 2024.
Tell us about that.
Well, Ascension Health is a major case study here because the impact was just massive. We're talking personal data compromised for 5.6 million patients.
Wow, 5.6 million.
Yeah, it really just exposes how fragile things can be, especially in critical sectors like healthcare. They often have fewer resources for cybersecurity.
And how did the attack even start? What was the entry point?
Well, this is what's kind of revealing. It started with something that sounds almost mundane. A contractor clicked on a malicious search result.
Just a bad link.
Pretty much. Clicked it using Microsoft's Bing search while using the Edge browser. That seemingly small action was the initial way in.
That's all it took to open the door.
In this case, yes. That initial action, like a phishing vector, basically gave the attackers the foothold they needed to then launch a much more sophisticated attack called Kerber roasting.
Or roasting, okay.
And that leads us right into the technical details, the specific vulnerabilities they exploited.
Okay, let's peel that back then. Understanding these vulnerabilities is, I think, key to really getting the weight of Senator Wyden's accusations. So let's start with Kerberos itself.
Right.
For people maybe not deep in network security, how would you sum up Kerberos? Why is it so crucial?
Okay, so Kerberos. Fundamentally, it's a network authentication protocol. Think of it as the secure ID verification system for most big corporate networks.
Like a digital bouncer.
Sort of, yeah. It's designed to let users and services prove who they are to access resources, but crucially, without sending passwords directly over the network. That would be incredibly risky.
Okay, so it's about proving identity securely, establishing trust.
Exactly. And its security is absolutely paramount because Kerberos is the foundation for how access is controlled in so many enterprise environments. If you compromise Kerberos,
You can basically impersonate anyone.
pretty much. Attackers could potentially forge identities, move around the network undetected, get into sensitive systems and data. It's bad news.
Okay, clear picture. So if Kerberos is the foundation, Kerberos sounds like you're attacking that foundation directly. How does that work?
It is an attack on that foundation, yes. But But it's specifically what we call a post-compromise technique.
Meaning the attackers are already inside the network somehow.
Correct. They already have some kind of foothold, maybe even just low-level access. What Kerberosing lets them do is steal encrypted service account credentials. They grab these directly from Microsoft Active Directory.
An Active Directory is like the central phone book for the network. Users, computers, permissions.
That's a good way to put it. It's Microsoft's main identity and access management service for Windows networks. Holds all that crucial info.
So they steal these encrypted credentials.
Yeah.
What's the actual weakness Kerberosing goes after?
It mainly targets service accounts that are protected by, frankly, weak or easily guessable passwords.
Yeah.
The attackers snatch these encrypted credentials.
Okay.
Then they take them offline, away from the live network.
Yeah.
And they can just hammer away at them with brute force attacks, trying every possible password combination until they crack it.
And because it's offline, no alarms go off on the actual network.
Exactly. It's stealthy.
And this brings us, I think, to the core technical issue Senator Wyden is really zoning in on, this persistent RC4 problem. What is RC4?
Oh, yes, RC4. So the critical thing here is that RC4 is an old, outdated encryption algorithm. It's known to be weak.
Like using a flimsy padlock, everyone knows how to pick.
Precisely. It has known vulnerabilities. Serious ones. Attackers can use readily available tools, brute force methods, to basically recover the original plain text information from anything encrypted with RC4.
So even though the credentials they steal are encrypted?
If they're encrypted with RC4, an attacker can realistically decrypt them and get the actual password relatively quickly.
And the really worrying part, according to the sources, is that this weak encryption is still around, despite the known risks.
That's the crux of it. It's persistence. You see, deprecated, which RC4 has been for ages, just means we don't recommend this anymore. It doesn't mean disabled. So despite being officially outdated, known to be flawed, RC4 encryption is still available as an option within Kerberos systems. It's still there.
Which creates this ongoing risk, a built-in weak point.
Exactly. A significant ongoing risk for organizations globally. It's like leaving a known faulty backdoor unlocked. It provides the pathway for attackers. And you know, some would argue it's the vendor's job to proactively remove known attack surfaces like this.
Right. So given that the dangers of RC4 aren't exactly new news, what has Microsoft's response actually been? And how did Senator Wyden take it?
Well, Senator Wyden's team didn't just criticize after the fact. They apparently contacted Microsoft directly back in July 2024.
Oh, before the public letter.
Yeah. Urging them, basically, to warn customers more clearly about RC4 and, crucially, to make stronger options like AES 128 or AES 256, the default setting for Kerberos.
Make the secure option the standard, not the insecure one. Makes sense.
Seems logical. Microsoft did eventually respond with a blog post in October 2024.
But it sounds like that didn't smooth things over with the senator.
Not at all. Wyden's criticism was that the post was way too highly technical. He argued it basically failed to get the warning across clearly to the people who actually make decisions in companies.
The executives, the managers, not just the deep dive tech folks.
Right. The people who need to understand the risk and allocate resources to fix it. It highlights that classic communication gap, translating complex tech risk into something actionable for leadership.
So what was Microsoft's actual defense then? Why keep RC4 around if it's so problematic? They must have given reasons.
They did offer a defense.
Yeah.
They acknowledged RC4 is an old standard, one they discourage in documentation and engineering guidance.
Okay.
They also provided some usage data, claiming RC4 traffic is now less than 0.1% of their total traffic.
Implying most people have moved on already.
That's the implication.
Yeah.
That the vast majority of customers are using more secure alternatives.
But is 0.1% reassuring if that tiny fraction includes, say, critical infrastructure or healthcare systems?
That's the multi-million dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it leads to their main argument, backward compatibility.
God, the classic tech dilemma.
Exactly. Microsoft argued that just switching off RC4 entirely would break many customer systems that might have older components or dependencies still relying on it.
So they're saying they can't just rip it out without causing disruption.
That's their position. They claim they're actively working to remove it gradually, that it's on their roadmap, and they're providing guidance on how to use it in the safest ways possible for those who absolutely still need it.
Safest ways possible for a known insecure protocol. Sounds tricky.
It does. They also mentioned they're engaging with Senator Wyden's office on this.
It really does highlight that tension, doesn't it? Supporting older systems versus pushing for better security. But Wyden seems to be arguing this goes way beyond just a tech support issue. He framed it as national security.
He absolutely did. His statement was pretty stark. Let me find the quote. Here. Without timely action, Microsoft's culture of negligent cybersecurity, combined with its de facto monopolization of the enterprise operating system market, poses a serious national security threat and makes additional hacks inevitable.
Wow. Culture of negligent cybersecurity, de facto monopolization, serious national security threat, inevitable. That's incredibly strong language aimed at Microsoft.
It really elevates the conversation. It's not just about corporate liability or PR anymore. It's framed as a risk to the nation's security and resilience.
So we're potentially talking about the security of the country, not just a company's bottom line, because their software is everywhere.
That's precisely the implication. When a company's products are so deeply embedded in critical infrastructure worldwide, the question of their cybersecurity responsibility becomes immense. Especially, as Wyden notes, when they hold something close to a monopoly in essential software markets.
What's the extent of their accountability then? It's a huge question.
A fundamental one for our digital age.
And thinking back to Ascension Health, the vulnerability of the healthcare sector specifically seems really concerning here.
It is deeply concerning. Healthcare organizations handle incredibly sensitive personal data, our medical histories, insurance details, everything.
And often, as you said, with fewer cybersecurity resources compared to, say, finance or tech itself.
Exactly. So when fundamental flaws in widely used software contribute to breaches affecting millions of patients, well, the need for accountability feels very urgent and very personal for those impacted.
So, okay, wrapping your head around all this. What does it mean for organizations listening right now? For you, if you rely on these Microsoft systems, can you just sit back and wait for Microsoft to fix it?
The clear message from the sources and, frankly, common sense is no. Passive waiting isn't really a viable option here.
Too risky.
Way too risky. This whole controversy just screams that organizations need to be proactive. You can't solely rely on vendors, even giant ones, to patch things up on their own timeline, especially when vulnerabilities are actively exploited. The threat landscape just moves too fast.
Okay, so proactive steps. What should organizations be doing, like, right now? What are the immediate actions?
Top priority has to be reviewing current encryption settings, especially anything related to Kubernetes authentication.
Find out if you're using RC4.
Precisely. Identify if and where RC4 is enabled. The immediate goal should be to ensure you're using the strongest available options, AES-128, AES-256, and actively disable or configure things to prevent RC4 use wherever possible.
Is that always easy?
It might not be trivial. It likely means updating systems, changing configurations, maybe adjusting processes. But you have to weigh that effort against the alternative.
What is?
Remaining vulnerable to a well-known, easily exploitable attack technique. That's arguably a much, much greater risk.
Yeah. Okay. Point taken. And what about the regulatory side? The FTC investigation Wyden called for. Any movement there?
Well, as far as we know publicly, the FTC hasn't formally responded yet to Senator Wyden's request.
So still waiting on that front.
Still waiting. But just the formal complaint itself, the public pressure, it could absolutely set important precedents. It forces a conversation about how government agencies should handle security failures by major tech vendors.
And how they balance security necessities against that whole backward compatibility issue.
Exactly. It's a really complex balancing act.
This has been, wow, a really fascinating and honestly slightly alarming deep dive. It just throws that core tension into such sharp relief, doesn't it?
The backward compatibility versus robust security tension.
Yeah. And it really fuels that ongoing debate about vendor accountability. How much responsibility does a company like Microsoft bear when its software is basically the foundation for so much of the modern world?
It's a debate that's only going to get more intense, I think. This isn't just about one specific flaw like RC4. It really gets to the heart of digital trust and how we ensure resilience when everything is so interconnected.
So here's something to think about, a final thought maybe. In a world where one company's software is so foundational, so critical, when does a vendor's choice to keep supporting older, less secure options cross a line?
When does backward compatibility become, as Senator Wyden framed it, a national security liability?
Right. And what role should government play? Should they step in and force changes that might impact millions, maybe break some older systems, but ultimately improve security for everyone else?
These are definitely the big questions going forward, questions that are going to shape our digital future. And frankly, questions we all need to be engaged with.